Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. I'm not sure why we don't have theme music, but I do know that we have Melissa Kay with us.
Well, I can hear the theme music.
Oh, can you?
And I am here with you. Yes, I can.
Oh, I see. The one has been taken off there for us.
Oh, somebody messed with my my digits over here.
Okay. There it is. Now we hear it.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It was 7:04 on the clock. It's 7:05 on the clock now. I always like saying 7:04. James J. here with you. Sort of. That voice you hear snickering over there is Seth Halfhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Rightfully so. Yeah. Rightfully so. You should be snickering.
All right.
We can start over, right? We don't have to. Mm-hmm. We can do this. This is not live
Take
or anything.
Two.
Take two. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there. We're going to treat you dang good. We've got our National Day of Calendar coming up in just a little bit. We're going to get into as well four things to look forward to in February. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. That should be a bunch of fun. And now my laptop's frozen. This is great.
It's a great way to start the day, huh? Oh, come on now, laptop.
So, we have five things to look forward to in February. Also, what do you call the two ends on a loaf of bread? We're going to get into that a little bit. We'll get into that.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has heard or not, but there is a green comet coming our way.
A green comet?
Yeah, and it'll be here in the next 48 hours, really. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Plenty of other great things.
Hot.
8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little after Melissa's news, we'll be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR with Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour being joined by our new friend, Thomas Redbird IV from Ho-Chunk Gaming Casino in Nakusa.
Mm.
We're talking a little bit. We'll recap things the last month or so over there, and we're going to tell you what is there is to look forward to over at Ho-Chunk. Mm-hmm. Encourage you to follow them along on their Facebook page. That's a get. Folks, we're really excited about that. That's mm-hmm. a nice partner to have with you around here. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to talk to another fourth. You know, so it doesn't happen very often. So
there aren't a lot of fourths out there anymore.
No, not a lot. Yeah. Not a lot. It seems like less and less people are doing that,
mm-hmm.
Doing the carrying on of the family name kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Much more people kind of, you know, we're going to start our own trend, or just, I want to name my kid Ezekiel. You know,
whatever
it is, they just want to do something different. It's interesting.
We have enough Johns in our family.
Right? Yeah. You know, it's kind of understandable.
Yes.
We are looking forward to all of that and plenty more to come as we get going here. But Melissa, are you staying warm over there in Abbotsford?
Yeah, you know, the furnace hasn't shut off, so it's slowly warming up.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seth, how about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Very cool.
It looks like a nice, clear, cold day again here. The clearness I'll take because I like the sun.
We are going to find out about that when we get going with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center mm-hmm. in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. I wanted to touch on a couple of things that just kick off the opening monologue here of the show, but I'm remiss to because of this study that I came across this morning. I have gone on the air many times and said, look, I am one of the more open-minded people that you will ever hear. I stay on the fence of most things because mm-hmm. I want to hear all sides of stuff before I make a formed decision or anything like that. There are a couple of things that I don't have any no quarter with.
Okay.
The flat earthers. Sorry. The Earth is round. Please. We figured this out during Galileo. Let it go.
Long time ago.
One of the greatest things that you will ever see is going to the Flat Earth Society's website and seeing how the Flat Earth Society says, the Flat Earth Society, covering information around the globe. Wait, what? Wait, what are you doing? Wait a minute. You can't do that. That's not right. One of the other things that I tend to kind of stay on the fence on is the supernatural creatures. Your Loch Ness Monster, your Boogeyman, you know, all these characters.
Right.
And, of course, Bigfoot. Bigfoot and I are Sasquatch, as I try to be more correct in saying. I'm not sure if Bigfoot's a derogatory term or not. Well, you got to think about that. Not sure.
Yeah, you do.
Not sure.
It could be.
It could be.
Careful.
Sasquatch.
Sensitive about feet?
Yes. Sasquatch, the more correct term. I have had a little more trouble with this because I was on a TV show that was canceled right around the time, the same day I found out that chasing or hunting or whatever, finding Bigfoot,
it's
whatever.
Finding
that,
Bigfoot.
Is it fine? Okay.
Yeah.
That they were renewed for a second season. I found out that the same day my show went, that I found out which my show was never going to see the light of day. So I may have a little bitterness towards the old
just a
furry Bigfoot guy, but we're gonna believe, we're gonna start there, everybody. Because if you believe in Bigfoot, this might rock your world. For the rest of us, it's kind of just an obvious answer.
No, okay.
A new study may have figured out what Bigfoot really is, and the answer is something that definitely does exist.
Okay.
A data analyst took a list of all the reported Bigfoot sightings in the U.S. and compared it to different animal populations. And it turns out the spots with the most sightings also tend to have the most bears, specifically black bears. The link between the two was strong, and even put a number. They even put a number on it. There's an average of one Sasquatch sighting for every 900 black bears in any given area.
That's a lot of black bears.
If you've ever seen a black a black bear walk on its hind legs, it looks oddly human.
Mm-hmm.
And you can Google that right now if you'd like and see it. I personally did just to double check and everything, just because it's been a while since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is oddly, like, especially if you put in your head what a Sasquatch, what you imagine a Bigfoot to look like, and these bears walking on, especially a skinnier bear walking on his bare legs, which unfortunately, as a side note, we've got way too many skinny black bears out there. That's a bad sign, everybody.
That's true.
That's a very, very bad sign. You wonder why bears are coming into town here and things like that. It isn't because they want to go to Misty's, although I wouldn't blame them. I would not blame them if they did, but it's in part kind of actually, that is kind of true.
They're looking for food.
They're looking for food. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get to a point where like you sit down at like a restaurant and there's a bear, there's a family of bears across from you? Is that how, I mean, we're
may be smart enough.
Yeah, and we're taking up their land, we're taking up a lot of their food, all this. I mean, it would be kind of par for the course. It would be kind of fair.
Who's going to ask a bear to pay?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously. This is not going to be good for the economy, people.
Okay, and here is your bill. Okay, I see that you don't have pockets, a wallet, or even know what I'm saying. You don't speak English. Okay,
we're just going to... on the house.
You know what? Yeah, all bears eat for free. All bears.
There you go.
If you've ever seen a black bear walking around, this kind of seems obvious. A bear in New Jersey went viral doing it while back. Texas and Florida were the only states where this formula didn't work. Those two states don't have many bears, but still have Bigfoot sightings, so it's not clear what those people are seeing.
Okay.
What's the monster from Mexico or whatever?
The chupacabra?
Chupacabra. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a chupacabra.
Let's replace one mythical creature with another. Let's do that.
Why not?
He also tried to use his formula to figure out what the Loch Ness Monster is, but hasn't been able to yet. One theory is a giant eel. But he says the odds of an eel that big height hanging out in Loch Ness are pretty much zero.
Yeah.
So here's my real question for you guys, and really for the audience, and I'd love to hear back from you guys. You can go ahead and email us if you like. You can message us on Facebook. Otherwise, you can email me, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
Woohoo!
I'm going to keep doing it just so I can memorize my lines.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it a more fun world? I don't want to say a better world. Is it a more fun world if we have this kind of light thing going, this light belief in this? I there's people that can take things to extremes and all angles and stuff, and I don't know if it's worth dedicating your life to finding Bigfoot or any of this stuff.
Right.
But just the belief of it, just in a simple random conversation like we're having right now.
Yeah.
You know, the average is if you took the average of three people, a 1.5 are going to believe in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so harmful? Is that so bad? And are we better off kind of not knowing that, you know, letting this stuff be in that fringe?
Mm-hmm.
We've lost so much mystery of the world. You know, it used to be if Seth and I are trying to figure out something, who won the World Series in 84 or who, you know, any of these things, we got to spend at least 20 minutes debating about it. And then maybe we got one friend that happens to have that, you know.
It was the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah. Thank you. I should have known you'd know that. But I kind of like, yeah. I miss that, some of that mm-hmm. stuff. Now that 20-minute conversation is done in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Some of these things, I'm not saying I have an answer here. I'm asking rhetorically if it's more fun that way. There is still plenty of mystery in the world. There's plenty of the oceans we haven't discovered. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of sky out there. We're going to talk about a green comet a little bit later. Yeah. I don't know how many people knew about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, what do you guys think about that, Melissa?
I think it's fun to have some mystery and to have the ability to let our imaginations run a little wild in a way that is not, you know, harming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hurtful. It can be fun. Why not?
When there was when it first started seeing, like, my nephews with tablets, and they're two. And things like that, and that's an early on thing. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Now every 2-year-old has a tablet or whatever and everything.
Yeah.
Almost all of them. When I first started seeing that, I wasn't like the majority of society that was correct in kind of worrying about detachment or personal, you know, connections and a lot of these things, which I agree are important and everything. I was worried about creativity. I was worried, well, wait a minute, is this going to zap kids' creativity out of them or something like that? Now, obviously, I think we've seen that that's not the case.
Right, exactly.
Kids are always going to have imaginations. And it was a silly thought, really. But it was my being honest, it was my first instinct. And it's my first instinct with this. Does this take from that? Does it take from those things? What do you think?
Well, you know, there's a whole, and it's kind of a... It's not taken too seriously, the cryptozoology, you know, which is basically what Bigfoot falls under, the Loch Ness Monster. Like animals that may or may not exist kind of thing.
Okay.
There's a whole field of study. Some people take it more seriously than others. But they have, I mean, there are still species of animals in this planet that we don't know anything about. For whatever reason, you know, they're deep in the ocean or they're for some reason we haven't found them yet, you know, in some of the deepest parts of terrain that we don't, you know, that's hard for humans to get to.
Or things that are microscopic.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. I think the hunt for that stuff is not a bad thing necessarily. The problem is when we put the cart before the horse and say, you know, not I'm going to go out and look for a, you know, possible, you know, human type thing, you know, that kind of looks mammalian kind of thing. Or to say, no, Bigfoot exists and I'm going to find him. There's a difference there. One, you're actually looking for a specific thing that you think is out there. Otherwise,
maybe.
Yeah, but or you can go out and say, what's out there? What can I find? Mm-hmm. Which is a lot different.
They say finding, but it's actually hunting.
Yeah.
Finding is a search. Hunters don't go into the woods where they don't think I wonder if there's deer here.
Exactly.
Like they know where the deer, you know, where, I mean, at least the roundabout area of
Know,
where they're going to be and everything. You don't see hunters just walking into random fields.
Yeah, exactly.
Finding makes it sound like it was lost.
Yeah.
That's true.
Did we lose Sasquatch? Like, who lost him?
Well, I did, but that was, no. It still hasn't gotten back to me.
One day, Seth. You did just change your email. To be fair, you did. To your point, Seth, in the last year, a couple of years, a resplendent rainbow fish, a frog that looks like chocolate, a Thai tarantula, and a nomi that rides on the back of a hermit crab, the world's largest water lily. These are some of the newest species and discoveries by science just in 2022. Scientists estimate that only 10% of all the species on the planet have been described.
10%?
Jeez,
that's tiny.
Not very much.
We use more of a brain than that.
That's
an old joke. That's pretty interesting.
And I think most of them, like Melissa said, they're more like insects and things like that.
Yeah.
They're not big ones. You know, most of the big ones we've seen, not all of them. I would say there's probably a few out there.
Yeah, giant water lily?
Yeah, that's
that was just discovered? That's pretty
That's
incredible.
Pretty cool, yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting world, you know. I enjoy it staying that way. We will take a break. We'll come back. We're going to do our National Day of Counter. We'll hunt that down for you. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is Melissa, Seth, and James here with you to get you into your National Day of Counter for this February 1st. Happy February, everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
it's
we're
here.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah,
that was a really fast was. January.
That really was a quick month. And honestly, it took me a second. It took me a second to remember that it was February. I'll be completely honest with everybody. We're going to take a look at just a couple things real quick. Like, it is Snow Sculpture Week until the end of today.
All right, cool.
It is now until February 7th, African Heritage and Health Week.
That's a good one.
Good.
Yeah, and National Patient Recognition Week for the same stretch as well.
That's good, too. Yeah.
Solo Dinners Eat Out Week.
Hey, hey.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
Take yourself off to dinner.
Yeah.
And then diving on to things that are specific for today, like it's Car Insurance Day. Oh, my God. I didn't do my shirt. I got to go.
Just a reminder. Yeah, car insurance.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. Literally. Yep. literally gotta have it. Like, there's no getting around that one. Decorating with candy day.
Ooh.
Hey.
That looks good.
Mm-hmm. So, like, turning my house into a gingerbread house?
Oh, that would be a great idea. That's a great idea, man.
The walls with candy?
I'll be right over to help.
Yeah.
I'll be right. I would love to help with that.
Hot glue and the banana hard candies.
Yes.
It's going to be an awesome mosaic.
We're going to have a great time. I don't know if your boyfriend is, but I don't know how much he's going to like it, but he's a good sport.
I'd love to see him come home and see all this stuff on the wall. What the?
Oh, that's good. That does seem like a fun one, though, decorating with candy. I like that. It looks like it's specifically about, like, cookies and, you know, sweets and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. National Baked Alaska Day.
Speaking of sweet treats.
Is it sweet? I've never had it.
It's a dessert, yeah.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me. I didn't know it was a dessert.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I always thought it was fish when I was a kid.
I swear to you, I thought it was the whole Alaska fish thing,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure it was fish.
No.
A hearty thanks to Mr. Benjamin Thompson, an American physicist, for discovering how to make meringue back in the early 1800s, which ultimately led to the invention of this delightful treat. For meringue is a key component of Baked Alaska, the spotlighted dish which is being celebrated on National Baked Alaska Day. Baked Alaska is a very special dessert that is unique in a very special way, and some people even think it borders on being magical. Not to take away the fun, but it's not really magical. It's just very good science. Now it's time to learn about this. Baked Alaska is made by placing slices of sponge cake in the bottom of a pie pan, filling it with vanilla ice cream, and then covering it all completely with a whipped meringue mixture.
Yep.
The whole thing is then baked in the oven at a very high temperature for a short period of time to allow the meringue to solidify slightly and brown.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That sound good?
Yeah. Although most people would probably expect the ice cream to melt immediately when placed in the center of the hot oven, yeah. Surprisingly, it does not. It keeps cool. The meringue protects the ice cream from melting, thus giving this dessert a distinctive cold-hot sensation and creamy, crunchy texture, all my favorite things. That is loved.
We may have just lost James' concentration
today. Yeah, he's
going
to go find some
by so many who have tried it. This is a good day, people. I've just discovered something. Yes,
James discovered Baked Alaska.
I feel like such a fool. I feel so foolish. I genuinely thought that Baked Alaska had something to do with fish, and I just kind of like, you know, I've seen it on things, but how did I don't know how I missed this one.
Well, to be fair, it's not a thing that you find at a lot of places because I get the prep and stuff and ice cream being part of it, but when you get a good one, it is tasty.
And it'd probably have to be served immediately, because once you take it out of the oven, it is just going to melt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, any other ice cream thing. So,
Melissa, you just bake and cook a lot more than I do. To me, that seems difficult to make. Is it really, or is it just seem complicated and it doesn't? I know. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I know you haven't made it before, but
the most complicated part of it would be making the meringue, which actually isn't all that difficult. You just need to have a high speed blender, like a hand mixer, good eggs, because that helps.
Mm-hmm, that's right,
and a little patience.
And the right temperature for the oven too, I think, is pretty important.
Make sure you don't do too long. For meringue, temperature is important too. You want to have everything at the right temperature. I think room temperature is the right temperature to make meringue.
Room temperature.
But I would have to double check. Like, you want to have your eggs not fresh from the fridge.
Okay. Yeah, a little warmer. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's National Serpent Day. That's a fun one.
As in snakes?
Yeah. As in snakes, yeah. Serpents. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Or Nessie.
Indiana Jones would not like this day.
No. Yeah. Why did it have to be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes? That's such a good reference, Mel. Good reference. That's a good one. It's also our day, Melissa. It's National Dark Chocolate Day.
Hey!
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
You a dark chocolate fan?
I like dark chocolate as well. Yes, I do.
We found something all three of us
like. You can join us on this day, Zach.
Yes. Rejoice.
Please join us.
One of us. One of us. It's also, I love dark chocolate. Dark chocolate's amazing. I don't know if there's any history or anything to it. I wanted to, dark chocolate has a rich history. Oh, boy. That goes back thousands of years. In fact, the first chocolate was consumed as a drink by natives in the Center and South America regions, where they would chop the cocoa beans and immerse them in heated water, create a beverage. We went over that over a hot chocolate day, I think, really.
It's pretty close, yeah.
Okay. No sweetener, though.
No sweetener, right.
No, they just had like it straight up. It'd be bitter.
It'd be like coffee, in other words. Kinda. It tastes probably a lot like coffee, yeah.
It's also Robinson Crusoe Day.
Oh, I gotta tell you. We are reading some more challenging books to our kids. At a book sale recently, Beth found a classic, kids version of Robinson Crusoe, and I read that to our youngest as kind of to help him remember story and stuff like that. He loved it.
Oh, cool.
He was excited. He loved this story. And I thought, all right, get some classics in there.
It's a wild story.
It is a wild story.
And a very well-written book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even by today's standards, I would say that, I think. Robinson Crusoe Day was founded in 1999 to celebrate the great author Daniel Defoe.
Mm-hmm.
Or Defoe, I've heard it pronounced.
Defoe, pronounced. Whichever. Yeah.
A little similar to William Defoe. But a great author.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And the idea of being on a deserted island by yourself is just such a fascinating thought process when you're a kid.
It's got to be first books like that. Our first stories about that kind of subject matter.
It's in the running for the first novel, English language novel ever.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's how old it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Well, and they've made a dozen movies based on this story.
Oh, yes. Wasn't there a Ted Danson, was that Gulliver's Travels or something? That might be.
That might have been Gulliver's Travels.
I think so.
Wilson!
So good. It is also National Freedom Day, honoring the signing of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery in America. National Freedom Day is an annual United States observance to celebrate the nation's freedom and recognize the efforts of those who fight to protect it. It is hard to imagine a world where we would ever think that another human being could be owned by another human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
End of sentence.
Yep.
I don't care about history. I don't care about how much time people used to do this. People used to do that. There's no way when we start standing upright, then we start having conscious thought that I can wrap my brain around, hey, you there, I own you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. No way that I can wrap my brain around that. And I don't see how at any point in human history this ever seemed kosher. This ever seemed like an okay thing. We give history way too much grace sometimes. We should give it grace in certain things. Melissa and I were talking about this yesterday, about learning, growing older, and pronouns and a lot of these kind of things. We're all learning about certain stuff. There is that level of understanding. Mm-hmm. But then there's this complete ignorance of what humanity is and completely ignoring. There's no way, no damn way, anybody who ever owned a slave or had anything to do with it or sold their own people, which is also a huge part of slavery, which never gets talked about. There's no way that you could, any of those people ever did any of that and said, yeah, this is all right. Yeah, this is okay. I mean, I know it's 1800s and everything, but this is probably fine. I'm sure history's going to look great at this.
Well, and they rationalize. I mean, you can see through the history of the rationalization of slavery in everywhere it takes place.
Yeah.
There's always a rationalization for it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's World Hijab Day. It's a big one.
Yeah.
Hijab is a style of modest dress that has been part of the Muslim religion faith for hundreds of years. More than just women wearing a head covering, though, that is part of it. Hijab dress is an important part of the lifestyle for both men and women and part of their faith.
Correct.
Huge part of their faith.
Yeah, and it's not a veil.
No.
It's not a veil. It's a hijab.
Not at all. Yep. I will say that it, not only that, but it is the only thing about that, and I'm using this joke from a girl that we had at Second City, a student of mine that wore one.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "You guys have no idea how great my hair is." You say that all the
time.
That's
a good one.
Yeah. Great joke.
That's an excellent joke.
Well, and in my opinion, the hijab is, you know, it's a great thing if you want to wear it. It shouldn't be a law.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Any part of the world. And I don't like telling other people how to run their country. But yeah, you know, women should have rights.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, you know.
Yes.
Very similar to, you know, could CC the conversation I had before about freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check that out. Two things for you right here. It's National Signing Day and it's National Girls and Women in Sports Day. Two very different things, but very similarity with the sports signing.
Sports stuff, yeah.
You know, you got a lot of signing day as far as in football, a lot of high school kids signing college, you know.
Letters
of intent with colleges and everything. And National Girls and Women in Sports Day is becoming more and more a commonality. You've got most recently that the Carolina Panthers were talking about how they're like four out of their five top people are women. And their organization. And it was like a fifth story on ESPN. Like, whereas like about a year or two ago, that'd be the number one story.
Right.
But it's becoming more and more of a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of room to grow, and there's a lot of things that need to be done on this subject matter as far as, oh, I don't know, women making the same as men and these kind of things. But it's a better day, and I think we can do two things at once. I think we can look to see that there's work to be done and also appreciate the work and the trailblazing that has been done by so many.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well said.
And I just saved this one because I love it so much. It's Spunky Old Broads Day. Yeah.
Something I aspire to be.
Right on, Mel. Women of a certain age might sometimes mourn the loss of their youth, but the best of them know that a ton of freedom comes with the experience of getting older.
Yeah.
In fact, the wisdom, confidence, and quirkiness that is inherent in many women in their 50s and older commands a certain amount of respect and awe. I could not agree more with those last two words there, respect and awe. Spunky old broads, or SOB. Brings the certain something to light as it encourages people to celebrate the beauty and authenticity of women who are getting older and embracing a life without regrets.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And they inspire the rest of us.
They do indeed.
To live life to its fullest.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Getting older is not a bad thing. The alternative is a bad thing.
Yes, it is.
Only two options here, everybody.
Yep.
This CEO or whatever that's, you know, talking about how he found like some serum or something to like make himself younger. It's called plastic surgery, man. And you don't look younger. You look fake.
You look weirder.
You look weird. You can do all the work you want on the outside, but the inside stays the same. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just shows whether you like it or not. I mean, I've never seen anybody who's gotten like amazing work done and, oh, wow, they look so much younger. Like, no, we're going to talk a little bit later about Paul Rudd, and he has a nice note about this, about aging and why he looks the way he does and these things. Uh-huh. And it's not magic. It's not rocket science. So,
spoiler alert. Cool.
We'll take a break right here. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Mornings at WFHR. I am not in messing up his intro. This has become his show now. Favorite Prince song? Easily.
Really?
Easily, okay. My favorite Prince song. She She came in through the outdoor. When I heard that lyric when I was a kid, blew my mind. She came in through the outdoor, man. That's so awesome. That's such a great line. Thank you, Mr. Purple. Thank you, Seth. Thank you very much for that. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 7:40 on the clock. It is the 1st of February, and you know what we do at the beginning of the month. We take a look at things to look forward to throughout the rest of this month. Mm-hmm. I got five things to look forward to in February. And it's really not five things. It's five categories with a bunch of stuff in there.
Oh, okay.
Let's kick off with sports. The Pro Bowl is Sunday. Nobody cares. Honestly.
Like, You're right.
The Pro Bowl has gotten down to flag football now, mm-hmm. and a bunch of like prop things. And like they expect the fans to care about this. Yesterday it was announced that Tyler Huntley is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Tyler Huntley played like three games last year and had two touchdowns. And nothing against Mr. Huntley. He is an NFL player, worked darn hard to get to that stage in his life and that mm-hmm. place and everything. Congratulations to him. He is not a Pro Bowler. He will be the first to tell you, like, what? That's how bad it's gotten. No, the players don't want to go to this, Melissa. The players have no... It's the end of the season. They're all banged up. Nobody wants to go play in this game for an exhibition game that you can get injured in and cost yourself money and everything. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
And it doesn't, because they already have the all-pro category where they award certain players for being all-pro, you know, and that's like the end of the season awards. And then being a pro bowler at the same time, and... They should just, I know they never probably will, but they should just get rid of it. Just name everyone, you know, get it your awards out there, your MVPs, your All-Pros, and then just say you're done.
Hockey is violent. Baseball can have violence. Basketball can have violence. But they're nothing compared to the gladiator sport that is football. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a gladiator sport, it's kind of hard to ask players. Like, let's say, okay, hey, what, you know what? We have the Pro Bowl voting at the end of the season, and that we'll start the NFL season, the 2024 season, with an all-star game. Mm-hmm. And we'll have players show up. Well, then we got guys getting injured that didn't even get to play in the regular season or something like that. You know, mid-season we'll do it. Guys are banged up. There's no point where these guys are healthy. Like, this idea that any of these guys are healthy right now, that you got the two final teams that are going into the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. not one player on those teams, and including the practice squad, is at 100%.
No.
It's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature mm-hmm. of the sport.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, it's about money.
You better believe
it. They want to keep doing it.
Oh, that's right.
Pro Bowl. I don't even know what it's called.
And more power to you, Mel. Power to you. I was thinking the other day, what do we do? You know, there's certain things where we don't have to use our brains for as much anymore. How many of us have old phone numbers we have stuck in our head that we remember? things like that. Whereas the next generation, they're not even doing that stuff.
They don't even know their own phone number.
What are they
talking
using
about?
That space in their brain for now? What are we putting there now that we don't need phone numbers in there and everything?
Probably a TikTok video.
Yes, probably. Super Bowl 57 between the Chiefs and Eagles is next Sunday, and the Daytona 500 is February 19th.
All right.
If fashion's your thing, New York Fashion Week starts next Friday and runs through Wednesday the 15th. I will be gone during that time, of course, because you know I'm one of the featured artists apart.
Okay. I thought you were walking you were doing the catwalk.
No,
there.
No, I'm an actual designer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You
okay.
see the way I dress myself, and everybody is just floored by it.
Meaning on the floor laughing?
Yes,
is that what it was?
Exactly that. Yes.
Although I really did like your sweater yesterday, James. I meant to tell you that.
Thank you, Melissa. I actually need that. I really do.
He's actually, some of the cardigans and stuff he's wearing, he does look a little more...
I'm trying.
His age.
I am trying. At the same time today, I'm in all black.
Yeah.
I just seen that. I just know. I didn't even think about it this morning. on TV, the Grammys are this Sunday. And spoiler alert, we all have a Grammy. We've all won. That's how many Grammys.
Have we won one?
That's how many categories there are. Yes. We won one back in last year, and I believe we got another one this year.
Okay, so, great.
Everybody has a Grammy. Go ahead and look in your house. You've got one laying around somewhere. There's that many categories.
I know. It's really crazy.
Season 26 of South Park starts next Wednesday.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They're trying to catch The Simpsons?
Yeah, probably.
Apparently.
Season 4 of You hits Netflix on the 9th.
Okay.
American Idol and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver come back on the 19th.
All right.
Grey's Anatomy is back on the 23rd.
Again, it's still going.
That show is the monster at the end of the movie. It will not go down. It won't. And Party Down with Adam Scott and a bunch of funny people returns on the 24th after a 13-year hiatus.
That's quite a gap there.
I love that show when it came out. Mm. Adam Scott was not a household name at the time.
Right.
Kristen Bell wasn't. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great actors. Lizzie Kaplan, Jane Lynch on that show. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of great actors. It's all about actors and trying to find, as they're trying to get a gig.
Yeah.
And what do you do in the meantime? You work at a catering place or something.
Right, yeah.
We talked with Joel about this on Director's
Joel
Cut.
Joel Goodness, yeah.
So it's all about that, those mm-hmm. actors and stuff. And it's a great show, actually. I loved it. I don't know what they're going to do here with the new version, but I love the original.
Because they have to bring everything back, When they bring back Blansky's Beauties, I'm done. done.
Yeah. Another show that's come back, season 10 of The Blacklist, starts on February 26th. My dad loves that show.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't watch it when it was on NBC, mm-hmm. but once it showed up on Netflix, he started watching it. We had a great conversation about the career of James Spader the other day. And it was talking about Carlton Fisk or Don Mattingly or an old baseball player, the mm-hmm. way my dad talks about acting now, because he's just getting into this stuff.
Yeah.
But he talks about it like their stats, different things. Like,
I love it.
It's great.
That's
so
great.
Basically, James Spader's got a .300 batting average because he's had hit TV shows in multiple decades and
right.
everything, and going
and
back
big,
to the
big
Brad
movies
Pack.
And stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. It was the way he's looking at it and stuff. It's funny. In theaters, 80 for Brady opens Friday. That's actually gotten some really nice reviews. It's a silly thing, but I think that movie is going to, once it gets to where it's on public TV,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be one of those guilty pleasures, I think, for
probably,
a lot of people.
Yeah.
Sally Field.
But the lineup on there, yeah.
I know the actresses that lead
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
Rita Moreno.
They're all great. I love those ladies, yeah.
It's one thing to have one of those legends.
Yeah.
But to have four legends
all
in
four.
That. Yeah. And they look like they had so much fun working together. You see them in interviews where they're selling the movie and everything, and they can't stop talking.
A bunch of spunky old broads.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. Titanic returns to theaters for the 25th anniversary on the 10th.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose they had such a good run the first time.
Well, it's what you said earlier, Melissa, about money. Now it's not just money, it's ego. James Cameron's mm-hmm. ego, he has to have the number one movie of all time. He will not let this go. It's the whole reason, I believe, he came out with another Avatar movie. He couldn't come up with another original concept, so why not do a sequel? I'm surprised he didn't do a Titanic 2. I'm genuinely
Rise from the depths.
I wouldn't.
The zombie Titanic.
I would be the last shocked person in the world if I see a trailer come from James Cameron, Titanic 2. Yeah, it would not shock me at all. Magic Mike's Last Dance opens on the 10th. The Winnie the Pooh horror movie comes out on the 15th.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp arrives on the 17th. That looks that's going to be a huge one.
That's good. That's the beginning of Phase 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've got Jonathan Majors as Kang. Jonathan Majors alone. That's 2023 is the year of Jonathan Majors. You may not know it yet, but it will be. He's got the Creed movie coming out. He's got another one. He just had that the Ariel movie. Dedication or something. The great movie was really good.
Yep.
He is the next big name. He is the next big guy, and rightfully so.
I saw him on the cover of Men's Health magazine.
Oh my God.
And now I am scared of him.
Yes.
I am frightened of Jonathan Majors. Oh my God.
I don't think I've seen a human being look like that.
Oh my God.
I've seen a lot of athletes, a lot of people. He just has, he's incredibly
muscles
built.
Have muscles.
Jeez. Yeah. Cocaine Bear opens on February 24th, based on the true story about a bear that ate a duffel bag of cocaine and all that.
That sounds so weird.
It's also weird that it's I believe it's Ray Liotta's last movie.
I think it is.
Yeah. That's rough. Mm. That's like Raul Julia doing Street Fighter as his last movie and stuff.
And this, I'll be completely honest.
Okay.
Back when I was a kid and that happened to Raul Julia, and he's one of my favorite actors, mm-hmm. and it's his last movie, and like, oh, that don't feel right. Like, that's one of the more classy, respected actors in the world. And his last movie is this, and so I look it up, and like, a lot of, like, I believe Paul Newman's last movie was Cars.
It was.
Doing the voice of Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Quinn, I believe, had a weird one in his last movie. Marlon Brando was in, like, The Score or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a bad movie, but... is it weird that I don't even really have a career? I mean, I kind of do, but not really. And my worry, one of my worries is, well, what happens if you get to the point in your career where you're doing roles for money and your last that happens to you? You know, I don't want that to happen to me. Don't you have to have a career first before you can have that happen?
Yeah, like, really,
God, my brain. I have a weird brain. And, of course, the holidays we wrap up on here. The big ones are Valentine's Day on the 14th, President's Day on the 20th, Mardi Gras on the 21st, and February, of course, is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Here are a few more holidays coming up, like tomorrow's Groundhog Day. National Pizza Day is on the 9th.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Latte Day is the 11th. Drink Wine Day is the 18th. Pancake
every day.
Right on. Pancake Day is the 21st. And the 22nd is National Margarita Day.
Wow.
Hey.
Not bad.
Now
not
mix
bad.
All those together.
Yeah, right.
No. Pancakes and margaritas? No, thank
and
you.
Pizza? Yeah.
I was just thinking the same thing, Melissa. That's good. That is a fun list right there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into Green Comet. We're going to talk about a Green Comet
nice.
When we come back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. And we're going to USCNN real quickly for an interesting article. A recent discovered green comet will soon zip by the Earth for the first time in 50,000 years.
Whoa!
It was last visible in the night sky during the Stone Age. We all remember that.
Yes, very well, yes.
Age of the Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good time, good time.
Yeah.
Discovered on March 2nd, 2022 by astronomers using the Zwicky Transient Facility's Wide Field Survey Camera. In this whole article, I'm only doing this so I could say Zwicky Transient Facility's Wide Field Survey Camera.
Because who doesn't want to say that?
This great facility in San Diego. The comet made its closest approach to the sun on January 12th, according to NASA. The comet has an orbit around the sun that passes through the outer reaches of the solar system, which is why it's taken us so long for it to get here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time.
Come on, man.
The icy celestial object will make its closest pass by the Earth between February 1st and 2nd, around 26 million miles to 27 million miles away, according to Earth's sky. Even during its closest approach, the comet will still be more than 100 times the moon's distance away from Earth, according to Earth's sky. As the comet nears Earth, observers will be able to spot it as a faint green smudge near the bright star Polaris, also called the North Star.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Comets reflect different colors of light due to their current positions in orbit and chemical compositions. I don't think I knew that.
That's cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I just learned a couple things this morning. I learned the Alaska.
Baked Alaska?
Baked Alaska.
And green comets. Yep, there you go.
Early morning skies, once the moon has set after midnight, for those in the northern hemisphere, are optimal for viewing the comet. So early in the morning tomorrow is about, should be a good time. The space object will be more difficult to see for those in the southern hemisphere. Depending on its brightness, it may even be visible to the unaided eye in the dark skies, but binoculars or a telescope will make the comet easier to see.
Mm-hmm.
One of my dream things I want to buy is one of those telescopes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that expensive.
No, they're not really, no. You can get a good telescope for a decent, yeah.
I mean, they're expensive if you're working radio, but they're not that expensive. The comet can be distinguished from stars by its streaking tails of dust and energized particles, mm-hmm. as well as the glowing green coma surrounding it. The coma is an envelope that forms around a comet as it passes through the sun, causing its ice to sublime, or to turn directly to gas. This causes the comet to look fuzzy when observed through telescopes, and it's not really sure where it is. It's a little fuzzy.
Either that's gotten moldy.
You'd be too if you went through the sun.
Yeah, true.
Right, yeah, good point.
Like, not the actual sun.
Yes.
After passing by the Earth, the comet will make its closest approach of Mars on February 10th, according to EarthSky.
Mm-hmm.
If the clouds are inclement weather, if clouds or inclement weather get in the way of sky watching, the Virtual Telescope Project will share a live stream of the comet in the skies above Rome, and don't miss other celestial events as well.
All right.
I was talking about earlier, you know, this discovery and how much fun that can be and mm-hmm. everything. I think that this stuff can be just as cool, just as interesting, and just as amazing. And if
it's fascinating that they can figure out the last time it was here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you, Melissa. I can't get my mind around that.
Yeah.
That's just incredible to me, the way that they're able to figure these things out and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just a couple hundred years ago, an apple fell on a guy's head, and
they were
figuring out what gravity was and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just amazing.
It is. It is really cool.
And you can go to virtualtelescope.eu to see more stunning images and see this comet. If you're not able to, if you're like in the Southern Hemisphere or something especially.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully they'll have some, after it comes, they'll take some video. And anyone can look at it. Yeah.
I
bet you it'll look really cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't imagine what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
And I guess none of us can.
To me, comets are one of the strangest and most mysterious of space, you know, objects because of the way they travel and everything. It's just so odd to me that they can go such long distances, you know, and then
and
come around,
keep going
and going and going. Yeah, it's really amazing.
It makes you want to learn more about space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things, like I've had snowblowers do this. You turn it on, and you don't even have to touch it, and it starts moving forward because of the pull, because of the way that it works. And comets, very similar thing.
Yeah.
They're caught in this, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's almost as if the comet's not necessarily moving. It's being moved.
Yeah.
It's being pulled, sort of.
Yeah.
At least as far as I can understand it.
Right.
I think this stuff is just so dang fascinating.
It is.
So interesting. And it's just cool. When you hear, like, I read a thing yesterday of Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about it, and when he's describing it, he's some of these terms that I'm using and words I'm using are just taken from him, basically.
Right, yeah.
Because he just does such a great job of breaking these things down where even somebody with my brain can understand what's going on.
One of the great science communicators. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's a great way to put it. Science communicators. Yeah. That's a wonderful way to put it.
There's a whole bunch. There's like Carl Sagan was one of those guys, too.
Oh, that's my guy.
He was really good at that, yeah.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye is another good one, yes.
Bill Nye is our generation's Carl Sagan.
Yes.
I say that as somebody who loved Carl Sagan. I say that very, you know, confidently. I'll never forget my little brother and sister watching Bill Nye, and he's showing about the power of dams and all this, and he's got a dam he's standing in front of the Hoover Dam or something like that, and he looks at the dam, looks at the camera, looks at the dam, looks at the camera. That's a lot of damn power. I will love that man forever for that joke. My little sister and brother thought they heard the world's worst word. You know, that was just hilarious.
That's funny.
We got great stuff coming up for you in the 8 o'clock hour. CBS News around the corner, and then we'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, Misty's Menu, Quality Plus joining us with a Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yeah.
All that coming up for you right here on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.